very happy. Well, at least I thought we were. Can somebody tell me what's gotten down? A house, a home, a family, and a man that loves her so. Who'd believe she'd leave us to join the burlesque show?
Tony Orlando, can you name that tune? There's prizes at stake, Tony.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you, can you name that tune?
I'm going to say Sweet Gypsy Rose.
Hey, man, you're showing your age now.
That's all right. I don't mind. That's Tony Orlando. That's who we're talking to. Tony Orlando is reuniting with Dawn for a few select shows across America. One of those shows is this Tuesday night at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles. Tony Orlando and Dawn together again. How does that feel, Tony? Are you excited?
Well, let me tell you, it's been amazing to be able to work with those two great singers who, if you go back to Heard It Through the Grapevine, they were on that record. It was Marvin Gaye and Dawn. If you go to Isaac Hayes' Shaft, it was Isaac Hayes and Dawn. And then finally with Yellow Ribbon and Gypsy Rose and all those records, we were blessed. It was Tony Orlando and Dawn. And after 40 years to go on that stage with these incredible singers, I can't even tell you what a wonderful experience this has been. And we call it the reunion tour, but it's really not just a reunion between Thelma, Joyce, and I. It's a reunion between the people out there because they've been coming out and the ticket sales have gone through the roof. I'm so proud.
You deserve it.
Hey, Tony, this is why America still loves Tony Orlando, because you are deflecting the credit. You were a monster showman. I told Bill during the break that we literally had a yellow ribbon tied around our tree in front of our house. That song, like, might have been the most popular song of the 70s. And then there's Sweet Gypsy Rose, Cantina. You were just a monster. Do you ever get sick? We refused to bring you on with, Tie a Yellow Ribbon. But do you ever get sick of people talking about Tie a Yellow Ribbon?
No, you know, one of the great reasons is every performer waits and hopes and dreams for a signature song. You know, for Frank Sinatra was New York, New York, and Bobby Darin, Mack the Knife. And for sure, for us, it was Yellow Ribbon. And here's the great thing about Tie a Yellow Ribbon. It's produced an opportunity for me through these last, well, it was released in 73, so you do the math how many years ago that was.
Seven.
We've raised because of that song, somewhere between $150 and $200 million on behalf of veterans. So it has been a great source of strength to people. It's changed lives. I was just the mailman that delivered the letter. The two guys that wrote it, Irvin Levine and Larry Brown, they deserve the credit. But, well, let me tell you something. When you stand on a tarmac at Dover and you see mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers welcoming home those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, and they're wearing yellow ribbons on their chests and on their lapel, you realize how fortunate you've been to be part of something that has helped families and veterans throughout this country for over 40 years.
Tony, do us a favor. Go behind the scenes a little bit, because for those of us who are just kind of casual observers to that, I remember with the hostages, the Iranian hostages, it became the background theme song. Did somebody come to you or come to the songwriters and say, hey, we want to put this together? Did it happen organically? How did that all come to be?
Well, I went into the studio and recorded a song called Tie a Yellow Ribbon, which was basically a love song. It had nothing to do with the military at all.
Yeah.
When it began, in that respect, it started with Bob Hope. Long before the hostage crisis, it started when our POWs came home from Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and Bob Hope called and asked the girls and I to open the show at the Cotton Bowl to welcome home our POWs. From that day on, it was, Bob Hope had an understanding. He said, Tony, you know that opening line, I'm coming home, I've done my time. It's every single parent's prayer. And that's what's happening today with these POWs. You have 72,000 Americans welcoming them home to this song. You're going to be singing this song for the rest of your life. And for that reason, sure enough, when the hostage crisis came, and of course, You know, the Yellow Ribbons welcomed them home after 444 days. And it started because of Walter Cronkite putting that yellow ribbon on a scrim behind him every single night that he reported the news on that period. They came home to a welcoming on Pennsylvania Avenue with yellow ribbons strewn all the way to the White House when Reagan, you know, welcomed them home. And then again, Desert Storm. And, you know, we just lost, you know, George Bush. And H.W. was 41, was quite a guy. He was a very decent and fine and kind man, as everybody has seen during this procedure.
Yeah.
And saying farewell to him and reminding people what a sensitive man he was. But the next time I was with him and doing a show for one of the networks where we welcomed home our veterans that served in Desert Storm, and then it went on to become a symbol of hope and homecoming, and still is, really.
Sure,
I went to Iraq in 2007, and here were these, you know, 19-year-old kids out there fighting this war.
Yeah.
And they had yellow ribbons on their tanks. It was it's been an unbelievable
wow.
journey.
Well, you know, that yellow ribbon had such, you know, a fantastic meaning and sent messages throughout America. But just a fun song. You began the decade with Knock Three Times. And I'll tell you, anybody that ever lived in an apartment building with a cute girl would always say, hey, I'm going to knock three times on the ceiling and see what happens. But, I mean, that was just you having so much fun with Knock Three Times.
Yeah, when I cut the song, I told the producers and the writers, I said, what are you guys, crazy? I said, the only place that's left anymore with tenement buildings with pipes to knock on them is Chicago and New York. I mean, that's the end. You're not going to sell anything anywhere else. Well, sure enough, that became, believe it or not, in its initial release, that sold more records than Yellow Ribbon. That sold 4 million records.
How many, Tony? 40 million?
4 million.
In that year.
It was, yeah.
Wow.
So it was an amazing record. You know, the initial release for Yellow Ribbon was half that, sold 2 million records. So you can see the difference between sales on that, and Yellow Ribbon came after. But here's the great part of the thing with Yellow Ribbon. Do Yellow Ribbon and just kidding around sometimes in the show. I'll do a whole lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. Look at me like they think like I'm. What is this good? Tony Orlando doing Led Zeppelin? And then I tell them, okay, you guys, are you ready? That song is 6 years older than Yellow Ribbon. And you have all these rock and rolls going, what?
Oh, that's
what?
So funny. That's
6 years old.
Tony Orlando, the great Tony Orlando, performing Tuesday night at the Arcata Theater. That's Tuesday, December 11th.
And that's a great theater, by the way.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I've worked that theater. Boy, that's some theater, man. And we are looking forward to it. I hope maybe you guys get a chance to come.
Oh, that'd be so much fun. Tony,
it's a great theater.
I have to bring up something. You and I met once before about 15, 16 years ago. I don't think you'll remember, but let me see if I can jog your memory. You came in and you were pushing a CD, a new CD. And right at the beginning of the interview, I said, I just want to ask you really, really quickly. Freddie Prinze meant the world to me, and I know you and he were best friends. Can you tell me a story about Freddie Prinze? You then not just told a story, but for half an hour, even though you were pushing a new CD, you just wanted to talk about Freddie. It was one of the greatest days I've ever spent on radio because you just opened up about the importance of Freddie. Do me a favor. Talk about him for just a minute. I just want to hear you talk about him for a second.
Well, for those of you out there who may not remember Freddie Prinze, he was a 22-year-old man who committed suicide, and it was the first time in my life I'd ever experienced anyone dying on me. And he was my youngest brother. He was the only two guys in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, at the prime of our career. He had Chico and the Man, and I had the TV show on CBS, Tony Orlando and Dawn. And we were the only two guys that understood what rice and beans was. I mean, he was half Puerto Rican.
He was Hunger Rican, right?
He was a Hunger Rican. In fact, we had a record company called Hunger Rican Greek Rican Productions. And we did it together. But Freddie, let me tell you, I'm so happy that you remembered Freddie, because this was a young man who only was in the show business for 2 years. Just think of that. He was on that show for 2 years. His whole career was 3 years long. 2 years on Chico and the Man and a year in the comedy clubs. He changed comedy. He changed the self-deprecating. It's not my job, man. Mm-hmm. He was a genius. He was a 20-year-old. I'm glad that you sensed his genius and that you were a fan of his, because you picked up on something in him that changed, literally changed comedy and changed his perspective and changed a look of a lack of prejudice because of self-deprecation. And he was very aware of that. And we, Thelma, Joyce, and I, you know, we were the first multiracial group to ever have a primetime show.
Wow.
So there was a kind of symbiotic relationship that began between Freddie and I from day one. And I miss him to this day.
Oh.
And his wife, she's an amazing lady who moved to Italy and lives in Italy now. I recently spoke to her. She was a great lady who raised a great son in Freddie Prinze Jr., which is a tribute to him.
Yep. Yep. No, I hope that he will never be forgotten, because as you pointed out, in a very, very short span of time, in just 2 years, he went from a guy who showed up on The Tonight Show and just destroyed, just absolutely destroyed the room. They gave him a sitcom, Chico and the Man. He handled it beautifully. It's so tragic that we don't get to share more experiences with Freddie Prinze, but I'm so glad that you were such a driving influence in his life.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for even talking about him and bringing him up again, because I would not like anyone to ever forget this young, beautiful, great comedian who had a heart so big, I can't even begin to tell you. You know, he would say things to me like this. He'd come to my house early in the morning. Now, we'd go to do our table reads for our shows early, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. So one day he had the key to my house. That's how close we were. Comes into my house and wakes me up at 6:30 in the morning. And I open my eyes and I see this young Freddie Prinze, and he says, "Tony, I don't want to go to school today." he referred to going to his rehearsal as
going to school.
He was like a little boy, and he was just a delight. And
oh, yeah.
Thank you. I still love him.
Oh, yeah, we all do.
You know, Tony, I remember your show on CBS in the 70s. I also remember Sonny and Cher. The Cher show just wrapped up in Chicago, just opened on Broadway. There's so much more to your life than just the hit songs. Do you think someday we might get the Tony Orlando play, the Tony Orlando show on Broadway?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you. I just finished writing. I've been asked to produce a show. We have written a show that is not based on just the hits, but based on my life. It opens on Broadway in 2020. It's called Rooftop Dreams. And the previews open in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina in 2019, in November, December, then in March of 2020 onto Broadway. So hopefully you'll see Rooftop Dreams down there, down the line. I hope it does well. You never know what goes on with Broadway. But, you know, I did Broadway twice. I understand the perimeters. I was in Barnum on Broadway, and I replaced Jim Dale for that show, which was a Tony Award-winning show, and then Smokey Joe's Cafe. So those two shows, I was able to gain the experience to be able to write a show. And I've written 13 new songs in the tradition of what Broadway is about, basically, not just the hits that we had together. But my story is one that talks about my sister, who was cerebral palsy and mentally retarded, and she was the spark to my life and really was the engine to whatever I did. And then from there, we had our success with the girls. But, you know, I signed Barry Manilow when I worked with Clive Davis, and I was his vice president and general manager of his Columbia Records. So that's part of the show. And then coming back with Freddie and having the breakdown after Freddie passed. So it's a hard-hitting show. It's not just, you know, it's not just all happiness. Of course, there was a great joy being Tony Orlando and Dawn, so that's a part of the show. And I felt that it had the legs and it has the substance to have some meaningfulness. So we wrote it. I've written 13 songs with Michael Amardian and my brother David, and here we're off and running. So I know you didn't know that because it's never been told yet, so I'm saying it for the first time on your show.
How exciting. That's excellent. This Tuesday night, everybody, your chance to see Tony Orlando reuniting with Dawn. It's a Christmas reunion at the Arcata Theater. Visit Arcata Alive. I'm sorry, Arcata ArcadaLive.com. All your ticket information is there. Tony, keep doing what you do. Boy, you're good at it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bill, you know, Tony, Bill loves you, but he don't love you like I love you.
Oh.
What a segue.
Thanks, Tony. We're looking forward to seeing you Tuesday night and Rooftop Dreams. That's going to be fantastic as well. Have a great holiday.
And let me wish you and everyone at the station, Bill, everybody, a very, very happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a great New Year.
Thank you, Tony. Take care of yourself. Tony Orlando.
You too. Thank you for this. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye.
He thanked us.
He thanked us, Harry, and that's Tony Orlando.
Yeah, he's. I like him even more now.
Did you? We were just kind of on the fence until just now.
No, I liked him a lot, but I.
But
I
now
mean,
even more.
I knew about his relationship with Freddie Prinze.
Yeah, best
and
friends.
I knew that you know what Freddie Prinze meant to you, and it. You know, I just he that whole interview wasn't about him. He kept giving credit. He kept deflecting the credit, giving it to other people.
Always.
And, just he thanked you for letting him talk about Freddie and remember him. Just it's like
some people in show business are not like that. There's a couple
really?
Of people in show business who are not like that. Coming up, the stories that matter with Dave Schwann from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.